everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight on WWCR right out of Nashville, Tennessee. It's the transmitting Jewel of the South, and we're glad to have you aboard tonight. We're going into the mystery elements of the Passover. We want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, you're blessed if you keep his covenants and his ordinances and his statutes. And you're cursed if you don't. Well, you know, one of the greatest, and when I say greatest mysteries, as we are here on April the 15th, moving right on down into time, as we transmit tonight on the Golden Crown, the Jewel of the South, WWCR, we're going to go into part two of the elements of the Passover. And, of course, we're going to teach you the reason why that we keep the second Passover. And there's a lot of elements and mystery and symbolism associated with the Passover. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that he was our Passover. And the blood of goats and bulls and heifers are no longer necessary since the Lamb of God shed his blood. But, you see, ladies and gentlemen, the Passover was never a shedding of blood for a sacrifice to cover sin. It used heifers. It actually used goats to be the scapegoat in this case. And it used the bulls or the bullocks, as it says. The Passover was a family treasure, if I may say so. And the second Passover was the category of those in a far journey or those that had touched a dead body. Now, we're going to show you some of the elements of the mystery tonight that maybe, just maybe perhaps, that you haven't been acquainted with. Now, the Bible says that the mysteries belong to those who are given the mysteries, and that's the prophets. I will not reveal anything to the people except I first reveal it to the prophet. Now, what is the allegories and the metaphors of the element, the spiritual mystery of the second Passover, Pastor Buddy? Well, it is clear and evident that he didn't die in the first Passover. We find in many scriptures that he was talking on the 14th day. He was talking to his disciples, and they were planning on going to a place. And we found out where it was at in the 11th chapter of the book of St. John. He returned back to his home place, which was some of the incredible metaphors and allegories that we demonstrated in the timepiece. The heavens declares the work of his hands. And these elements and mysteries are tapped into the second Passover, not the first one. And the Bible says specifically that the Jews sought to kill him, but they said, not on our Passover. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 1, it gives what is described as the elements of the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, what are the elements of the mysteries of the kingdom, Pastor Buddy? Well, specifically, that he was talking when he should have been hanging. You can't be the Passover lamb as he was demonstrating in the metaphors and the allegories and the metaphors that he was trying to preach to us and teach and type to us, he couldn't eat the Passover and be the Passover. You see, ladies and gentlemen, by the design of the Creator before the foundation of the world, he knew that what time he would die. He actually knew the day that he would die, the very hour that he would die. It was programmed. It was prophesied. Now, let's go back and look at the clock, the old clock on the wall. If you look, and this is one of the great elements in the mystery of why that we teach the altar aspect, because if you look at an altar with the 12 stones, it represents the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 hours in the day, or the 12 hours in the night, being 24 in what we would constitute as a day, 12 in the daytime and 12 in the nighttime. We know exactly that he came into the judgment hall at 9 o'clock. Now, let's look at the altar for just a moment. Let me give you some types and shadows here. We go into the judgment hall at 9 o'clock. He was arraigned at 9 o'clock. Did you know that across the world, in most every nation upon the earth, that court convenes at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m.? Now, isn't that strange? Well, it just so happens that on the 9 o'clock dial of the altar, and if you look at your watch, you can symbolize, and if you really need to know how to place the stones, if you follow the example of Numbers chapter 2, you could get the face of a clock exactly in the time periods, and each tribe represents a day of the hour on the 12-hour shadow of the clock. At 9 o'clock, it represents to the east, where the rising of the sun is, ladies and gentlemen, and it represents the tribe of Judah. Well, it just happened to be that the Edomite, Canaanite Jews of Judah, those that were mixed, not all the Jews were guilty of his blood. The ones that killed him were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are the vipers and the snakes. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's people are not vipers and snakes. They're sheep. There is a difference between a sheep and a snake. However, looking at the wisdom and the craftiness, you would think that the sheep are backing up, and rightfully so. A sheep is dumb, and a snake is very intelligent. At 9 o'clock, now listen to me well, at 9 o'clock on the cardinal points of the clock, and we're talking about 9, 12, 3, and 6. These are cardinal points. There are also cardinal points on the compass. East, Judah, and we go to the north. Now remember, he was the trial convened at 9 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock, listen to me well, at 12 o'clock is a three-hour trial. Well, they happen to be the three witnesses upon the earth, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, John 5 and 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So here, the Father, incarnated into a flesh body, typed himself into being as the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. At 12 o'clock, where we look at the dial or the altar or the clock, and we see the judge, Dan, to the north. So the judge sits at 12 o'clock. They convicted him exactly at 12 o'clock. Oh, my. You heard about the 12 o'clock high. Well, that's exactly when the pronunciation of the Sanhedrin court. Now we're going to go back into the judgment hall of Pilate. Now, the judgment hall of Herod and the judgment hall of Pilate are two different places, and we're going to prove to you that the Jews would not go into the judgment hall of Pilate, lest they defile themselves and judge themselves, or be judged, unworthy to keep the Passover. Now, isn't that interesting? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I never read that before. Well, it's in your Bible. Now, let's go from 12 o'clock judgment. Now, they led him away at 12 o'clock. And ladies and gentlemen, exactly at 12 o'clock noon at judgment, representing on your altar, oh my, no wonder we have such revelated mysteries to come forth, springing forth out of our heart. Because we love Yahweh and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and He gives us a divine. These things are hidden from the eyes of those that say they see. The Easter bunnies and the things that they did last weekend, ladies and gentlemen, is appalling. Now, by the fact that He was impaled upon the torture stake at 12 o'clock, we're going to give you the amount of hours that He hang at 12 o'clock, and we know exactly what time on the clock that He died. The Bible said He died at the ninth hour. If you start your time count at 6 o'clock, which begins the day, and you go around the clock at 3 o'clock, the ninth hour. Now, let's go in the altar and see who just happened to be at 3 o'clock on the altar. Oh, my. I see the house of Joseph at 3 o'clock, according to Numbers chapter 2. The house of Joseph was in the west at 3 o'clock. Remember I told you that he died for those in a far journey? On his mind and in his heart was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so by impelling him at 12 o'clock high, at judgment, he suffered for 3 agonizing hours. The trial lasted 3 hours, beaten and scourging, and all of the abuse, cat of nine tails, opened up his back to reveal the ribs. He said that his bones would stare out at the people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that he's coming back and he'll bring back with him these wounds, these scars, in that glorified body that hang 2,000 years ago, impaled at 12 o'clock high, dying exactly on the ninth hour? Well, nine, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call the resurrection hour. Now, resurrected in one sense and dying in the other. By killing him, Satan played right into the mighty power, because the Bible said that a grain of wheat falling in the ground, unless it dies, it can't bring forth. So here is the great wheat, not the tare. Here's the great wheat. Here is the master seed of the resurrection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now we've got him impaled at 12 o'clock. He had a trial in the house of Judah, the Jews. It was described in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark and in the book of John as the Jews' Passover. Now, why was it called the Jews? Because they were in charge. It was actually the Passover of the Hebrews, the Jews just being the dominant tribe and in control of the Sanhedrin court with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those that loved the chief seats, those that were blood mixed with the Canaanite, in collaboration with the seed of Cain, who was Judas, and in, that's Hellenization, that's the Greek word, in the Hebrew, it was Judah. So Judah was right in the mess, and he said, I've chosen one of you, and one of you is a devil. And this devil from the very beginning. But one also, other, that went up and put his witness in the 18th chapter of the book of John. And these great mysteries we've taught on that other disciple in 2 hours, and I don't have time to go into that. Because I want to give you the type of bread that the Messiah was eating when everybody thinks that he was keeping the days of unleavened bread. Did you know that they talked to him on the 15th day? The Bible says so. The disciples talked to him. Now, remember, he's to be impaled at 12 o'clock on the 14th day. His trial was on the 14th day when they begin at 9 o'clock, which represents, as I said, as the house of Judah at 9 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, the house of Dan, the judge tribe. And at 3 o'clock, he died for the birthright son, Joseph, who was the true inheritor to rule over the house of Israel. But everybody wants to give the allegiance and the rulership to the line of Judah. In the Greek of Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, the true translation springs forth. It says that the Lamb overcome the lion to loose the seals and open the mysteries. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never open one mystery in your heart until you know exactly who the Jews were that killed him. If you don't have this revelation, you're in the dark. And Satan has blinded you, and you do not have the opening power of the seal of Revelation 5 and 5 in the true Greek. In the English, it says, behold, the lion overcome the lamb to open the seals. And that's not what the Bible says in the true Greek. Well, what does it say, Pastor Buddy? On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in the flesh body, and asked him, where do you want us to go to make preparations for us to eat the Passover? Now, wait a minute. He was the Passover lamb that was to die on the 14th day. You do not eat the meal of Passover until sundown on the 15th day. Now, remember, it's from evening to evening. Now, at 6 o'clock, he was taken down to finish out the four cardinal points of the compass on the face of your clock, which is the time gates of Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 1. Remember, there's 12 gates into the city of Revelation chapter 21. Oh, my. 12 gates with the 12 names of the house of Israel inscribed upon it. So what is above is below. Now, altar with the 12 stones is the symbolic time clock or timepiece or revelation or revelator. And then, folks, I never had this revelation while I started doing what the Bible said to do. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, David, all of the past prophets built altars. And on the time clock, 9 o'clock Judah, 12 o'clock Dan, 3 o'clock Joseph, he died at 3 o'clock in the ninth hour. That is the house of Joseph, the birthright son. Wasn't it fitting for him to give up his life and die as a tribute honor to the house of Joseph rather than those Christians and all of those false prophets that give allegiance and swear that the Jews are God's chosen people? And ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. As a matter of fact, the birthright tribe is out of the house of Joseph. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, David was a Jew, was he not? No, he was not. He was out of the house of Joseph. What about his father, Jesse? Wasn't he a Jew, Pastor Buddy? No, he was not. He was out of the house of Joseph. Says so very plainly in the Bible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, where do we get all this deception and deceit? The Bible said that Satan, the author of confusion, and this is so complicated to the carnal mind, and the carnal mind cannot and will not ever unravel the great mysteries that Yahweh wrote. It's spiritually discerned, for flesh and blood will not reveal it to you. You'll only get more confused as you go along in the matter. But the spiritual-minded people can put together and piece together, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Ladies and gentlemen, woven into the elements of mystery is the time when they killed him. 9 o'clock, they tried him. At 12 o'clock, they convicted him. Then he hang for 3 hours, agonizing. Oh, my. His bones staring at him. The wounds in his hands and his feet and his back bearing the scars of the cat of nine tails, where they opened up the flesh of his back, hanging there, bleeding, raw. Ladies and gentlemen, bad enough to have a crown of thorns plaited and then smote with the shepherd's staff. Oh, my. Oh, they smote the shepherd and the sheep scattered. Matthew chapter 15, go not on the way of the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep in a far journey, dying with his face turned to the west, dying in the western position of the Maseroth. Oh, my. Hallelujah, no wonder we sing and praise. He that laid down his life in a spiritual manner that only those with spiritual understanding could comprehend. It's not Easter bunnies and eggs, ladies and gentlemen. The lamb was never a sacrifice for blood sin covering. The lamb was a community meal of the house of Israel, and he as the type of the lamb died not in the first Passover. He's alive. He's talking in the first Passover, ladies and gentlemen, on the 15th day. He's talking and he's walking. Well, you know, and I know, that when they killed him, and they finally did, ladies and gentlemen, but it wasn't the Passover you think that he died in that he died. He died in that second Passover for those in a far journey, typing and foreshadowing on the Maseroth at 3 o'clock at the west, where the sons, the 10 northern tribes, out of which the house of Joseph was of, had done vacated in 721 B.C., and so he spoke a body language hanging on the torture stake at 3 o'clock. It doesn't mean anything to most of the Gentiles or the dumb or the ignorant and those that's never put upon an altar to know what position that the house of Joseph is on the face of the altar with the 12 stones, which represents the 12 hours of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, that lamb was not eaten, the lamb that was to be eaten in the Passover, be it first or second, was only eaten in the nighttime on the 15th day, because he wasn't taken down till 6 o'clock, and the lambs were killed between 3 o'clock. He said, kill them in the evening! evening begins, between the two evenings, begins at 3 o'clock. And ladies and gentlemen, when darkness comes in, then the day begins for the next day. And so then the 14th day, at the going down of the sun, they took him off at 6 o'clock. Now, if you will look on your altar in Numbers chapter 2, you'll see down south, ladies and gentlemen, south goes down. He died and was taken down the south, Reuben, the house of Reuben. That is the actual firstborn of Jacob. He should have had the birthright, but he defiled it by committing incest upon the throne of incense, if you will. That was burnt as a covering and a cleansing. A sweet smelling savor came down off the torture stake at 6 o'clock. Remember, they had to have him in the grave before dark, between the two evenings. And that's exactly what happened. Now, the meal was shared in the 15th day. They didn't eat unleavened bread till the 15th day. They prepared it on the 14th. Preparation! Well, let's go to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. It is very plain that he was not keeping Passover, as most people think he was eating a Passover meal. He wasn't. It tells you in the Bible what he was doing, and it also confirms it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four witnesses now, ladies and gentlemen, but we can read that he did not die on the 14th day of the first Passover. He's alive. He's talking. And you can't be the Passover and eat the Passover. You have to be impaled upon a torture stake on the 14th day at 12 o'clock. He had to make that appointment. 12 o'clock, huh? So on the 14th day of whatever Passover he died on, he was there on the torture stake on the 14th day of the month. He was hanging on the torture stake at 12 o'clock high. Now, what does that mean? That means that the sun that was above his head shone directly down and pointed. It either goes up or down. 12 o'clock goes up, 6 o'clock goes down. Well, he was hanging up, but at 6 o'clock he came down. But he died at 3 o'clock with Symbolai. He was tried at 9 o'clock under the auspices of the Stone of Judah, or the House of Judah. And they said, when Pilate washed his hands on that, and we're going to get into that, they said, let his blood be upon us, when Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And he released him at 9 o'clock after the hearing, and then they took him over to Herod, because they finally convinced Pilate to release him to them and to their jurisdiction. But to sign the order, Pilate said, there is a custom at your Passover that I release one of your prisoners. Would you that I release this man that claims to be Yahweh? And the Bible says he made himself God. St. John 10:30, 31, 32. They stoned him for making himself Yahweh. And yet people say, oh, he couldn't have done that. They killed him. Well, guess what they're fixing to do here, ladies and gentlemen. But not in the first Passover. They kill him in the second one, because in the first one, Matthew 26, verse 17, he's planning on going somewhere on the 15th day of unleavened bread. Now, you can't make plans if you are the Passover. You're supposed to die on the 14th day. So he should have been killed the day before. And yet, here he is talking and making plans to go somewhere. Well, you know why. And I said last Sunday night on part one that they excused him because of his association with Lazarus. Well, I'm fixing to give it. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm fixing to give you the other scripture. Now, if you go to St. John, chapter 13, let me hurry. Now, before the feast of the Passover, he came to eat the final preparation. This is not the Passover meal. It's preparation meal. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't wash feet in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You clean yourself before you take the bread. This is the preparation meal. And he said, now before the Feast of the Passover, he sat down with the 12. This is preparation. The final meal together with his disciples, because he was arrested the same night, which would have begun the 14th day, and he was impaled on the 14th day at 12 o'clock. So then, right here it says he was here fixing to prepare for the Passover. Not eat the Passover, but prepare himself and his disciples. And he said, you're not all clean. Well, it was Judas that was not clean. And he went out the same hour of the night and betrayed him and brought the soldiers. They arrested him, took him, and interrogated him all night long. He didn't sleep one wink of sleep all night long from the time that they arrested him in the garden around midnight. Oh, my, there's that 12 o'clock again, ladies and gentlemen, in the night. Now, at 6 o'clock, again, beginning the end of that night, beginning of the day at 6 o'clock, he was taken to the judgment hall, and there he was to meet Pilate. Now, let's go to the 18th chapter of the book of St. John. Let me show you something, why the Jews would not go into the judgment hall and put their witness against the Messiah. Well, wonder why. Verse 38. Pilate said unto him, what is the truth? Well, he asked him what the truth was. Then in verse 39, it's a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? They cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a Jewish Edomite robber, a killer, a murderer. Well, don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that they knew who Barabbas was? He was a man of notoriety. They also knew who the Messiah was. And you think that they didn't know that he was the heir to the kingdom? Yahweh Shua said that he was the heir to the kingdom. Now, why wouldn't they release him as they brought him unto, in the 24th verse, why wouldn't they release him? Because the Jews had intended to kill him. But they said in the scriptures, and we can read this in two scriptures and confirm it in two more, that they said, not on our feast day. That was the first Passover. The Jews were keeping the first Passover. They said, let's not kill him on our Passover, because there was a great crowd in the city, and they had to keep it in Jerusalem. They couldn't run all over the country, ladies and gentlemen, like people are doing today, and keep the Passover any time they wanted to, at any place they wanted to. They had to keep it at Jerusalem. And the Bible confirmed that. They had to keep it where his name was placed. David was the man that placed the Ark of the Covenant on Mount Moriah. Oh, my. Now, the wisdom of the prophets, they took the Ark and the Testament. Listen to me well. The history, E. Raymond Kapp, one of the great Israelite scholars of the day, said that Jeremiah took the daughters of the king Zedekiah and took the Ark of the Covenant and departed Israel and sailed to, of all places, Ireland. The legends there are abounding in the legend of Jeremiah. No wonder the Irish call many of their sons Jeremiah. Oh, my. But here it is, that the Jews would not, now listen to me well, they would not go into the judgment hall of Pilate. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, why wouldn't they go into the judgment hall of Pilate? Well, because they did not want to defile themselves so that they themselves could keep the first Passover. Now, do you really understand what I just said? They did not want to go into the judgment hall of Pilate because Pilate was a Gentile. He was unclean. And they would not. Did you know that in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts that they condemned Peter for going over to eat with the Gentiles or to go into the presence of a Gentile? And they judged Peter as being unclean because that he had actually went into unclean people. And did you know what the Messiah said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew? Oh my. Look at the beautiful analogy here, folks, in the second Passover. The second Passover, according to Numbers chapter 9, was for those that were in a far journey, or those that had touched a dead body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, concerning the law, you're all unclean. There's nobody clean and nobody kept it. Nobody can keep the law without breaking it. If you keep the law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. Now, why? Because that the law had a fault. The first covenant had a fault. Listen to me well. The first covenant demanded that you keep the first Passover. The second Passover was brought forth for those in a far journey. Well, we're going to prove that some of the brethren were in far journeys and yet they kept the Passover abroad. We're going to prove that in the Bible, that they kept it abroad. Well, I gotta stop right here and bring to you our introductory song tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because you know what? The Bible is full of the things that we could talk about. But we're going to talk a little bit about, and we want to announce that we will be in festival in Murphy, North Carolina now. We're going to be in festival, and we want you to be with us in Murphy, North Carolina to keep the second Passover. Now, we celebrate the second Passover. We don't have anything against those that celebrate the first Passover. That's not our intention to put down people that at least you keep a Passover. Our intention is to give you a spiritual understanding of why we keep the first Passover. Now, by doing so, we know that the Bible is going to give us some understanding of where the Scriptures would tell us the reasons that we do certain things. Here's Shady Creek Bluegrass, and they're going to be at the festival in Murphy, North Carolina. This is the favorite bluegrass group in Western North Carolina, singing an old-fashioned altar that we've been talking about. Brother Odell and the Shady Creek Bluegrass Quartet. gentlemen, that's the Shady Creek Quartet, the famous bluegrass quartet in Western North Carolina, one of the most favorite bluegrass gospel groups, singing for Yahweh. They'll be on stage performing live at the Passover in Murphy, North Carolina. You want to hear and meet these wonderful men of faith. Brother Odell is the pastor and the teacher in the Bryson City Assembly of Yahweh. And what a wonderful saint that this man is. Faith and favors. That's what we talk about. Now, why would you want to miss the second Passover? It's beautiful there in the budding forth of the leaves and the beautiful mountains of Western North Carolina. Beautiful. I'm telling you, it is awesome. So plan to be with us in the spring festival when the Mayflowers and the leaves are coming forth in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, why, ladies and gentlemen, do we keep the second Passover? Simply because that we know in whom we have believed. Now listen, in the 28th verse of the Gospel of the 18th chapter of St. John. Now let me show you why that the Jews would not go into the praetorium or the judgment hall. Why they wouldn't go in there with the Messiah? Because they did not want to come into the presence of a Gentile. Oh my, unclean, I reckon so. But did you know that he died for those that was unclean? Isn't it wonderful? He died for those in a far journey. Listen, then they led Yahweh Shua, therefore, from Cepheus unto the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves, the Jews, entered not into the judgment hall, that they might not be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, they're putting the Messiah, you know, if they had any control over the Sanhedrin court, they ain't going to let him eat it, for sure. Because the same judgment that they judged themselves by, they would have judged him. Here he is in front of an unclean Gentile. Oh my. Oh my. Call us that which I have cleansed unclean, he said to Peter, who was carried away with the Jew doctrine. And in the 11th, this is in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when he went down to the household of Cornelius of the Italian Gentile band. The word Gentile, Strong's number 1483, means ethnos, or a certain group of people. These are the Israelites scattered abroad from 721 B.C., the 10 northern kingdom tribes that Yahweh Shua in a flesh body hung at 3 o'clock for the house of Joseph, exiled, and said, I still love you, boys. I don't call you unclean. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. You're my sheep. And go only, John 10, verses 5 and 6, go not to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, proving that there was a distinct difference. But the Jews would not, 28th verse, that they would not go in front of Pilate, in the presence of Gentile court, because they would defile themselves, and therefore they would be unclean to eat the Passover. Now, they sent the Messiah in there. You think he ate the Passover, the first one? I don't think so. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the Jews that ate the first one. The Messiah didn't eat the first Passover. He was condemned to die, but they said, not in our feast. We will kill him 30 days later. So they declared him to be unclean, sent him away, and they knew that he would return to keep the second Passover. Why? Because it was commanded for those who had touched a dead body, and he'd already judged him to be touching a dead body, because he raised Lazarus in the 11th chapter of the book of John. 6 days before the Passover, he's with Lazarus that was raised from the dead. And they also wanted to kill Lazarus, as I proved, in the first Passover. But they said, not on our Passover, at least there'd be an uproar. So they got him in the second Passover when there were a few people to return. Now, let me quickly close it out with the Second Chronicles, chapter 30. I want you to write it down. I'm not going to have time. I've got to give you some directions to, and some telephone numbers for our second Passover, and we invite all of those that would love to participate in the second Passover. An old-fashioned foot washing will begin on the evening, the second Passover, in Murphy, North Carolina, on May the 1st at sundown, starting with an old-fashioned foot-washing service in remembrance of St. John chapter 13, verse 1. This is before the Passover. That's what the Messiah was doing. He's washing feet before the Passover. He wasn't eating the Passover. It was before Passover. It's evident. And so then, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be meeting there in Murphy, North Carolina, with the brothers and sisters that want to celebrate the second Passover. I want you to invite you to come. If you are of the household of Israel, if you are an Israelite, you have a right to come. Then on May the 2nd, we will meet for the keeping of the second Passover. Now, that's on the 14th day. We're going to meet the night of the 13th, ends, beginning of the 14th day, in remembrance of the night that he ate the preparation meal. Not the Passover, but the preparation. We proved it to be so. Now, services will start on the 2nd. Now, that's on the 1st, so be there on the 1st at even of May the 1st now. And then on May the 2nd, at 1 p.m., we will meet there to commence the keeping of the 14th day in remembrance, and we will prepare the lamb to have a meal in the evening. Now, we eat this meal on the 15th day. So at the going down of the sun on the second day, it begins the 15th day, which is the third day. We'll eat the Passover meal and fellowship. We're going to have a great time. Now, let me show you how to, if you're coming into Murphy from the Tennessee side, you would come up either out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, on 64. You go east on Highway 64 off of Interstate 75. Now, if you're coming from the north, going down 75, you come to Cleveland, Tennessee. You're going to take 74. Those two highways, 74 and 64, both run east and will merge into, on the North Carolina side, they will merge together there right outside of Murphy, North Carolina. Just a short drive from Chattanooga, a short drive from Cleveland, Tennessee, on the Tennessee side. Now, if you're coming from the Asheville, North Carolina, or the eastern side, you're coming down Highway 74-19. You're going to go all the way through Bryson City, where Brother Odell and the assembly there have an altar built in Bryson City. They will be coming to Murphy, North Carolina, to build an old-fashioned altar. If you want to know how to build an altar, watch these boys build one, Brother Odell and the boys there in North Carolina. Watch them as they will take a little time to build an altar on Brother Dean and Angela's property, where we're going to have the festival for 2 days at Brother Dean's, and I'm going to tell you just in a moment how to get to Brother Dean. Wonderful Israelite saint, him and Sister Angela and their two sons. Now, if you're coming from the eastern side, the Asheville, North Carolina side, from the east, you're coming down Interstate 81 out of Pennsylvania or Virginia, up that way. You come over to 40, and you take 40 toward Asheville, and then you follow 40 east over to Clyde, North Carolina. That's exit 27. And you're going to exit off of 27 onto 74, and you're going to go west all the way into Murphy, North Carolina. Just follow 74 all the way into Murphy. That's how you're going to get from the eastern side and the western side. Now, Ladies and gentlemen, to get to the Feast property from the Tennessee side of Murphy, you're going to turn right at McDonald's. The only McDonald's in Murphy, North Carolina, onto Hiwassee Street. Now, if you're coming down from the east side over the Andrews or the Bryson City side, you're going to turn left onto Hiwassee Street at the light at McDonald's. Then you're going to go one half a mile, whether you turn from the Tennessee side or the North Carolina side. You're going to go one half a mile on Hiwassee Street. Then you're going to turn right. As you come into Martin Creek Road, you're going to turn right onto Martin Creek Road. You're going to go 1.5 miles to a one-lane bridge. And just as soon as you pass the one-lane bridge there on Martin Creek Road, Brother Dean's property, the Feast Side property, will be on your left. You'll see a Jacob Israel flag flying in the yard of the property. And if you need assistance, now if you get down there and get lost, Brother Dean and some of the boys over there will accommodate you and come and get you and lead you right in. We're going to have an old-fashioned foot wash in there on the 1st. We're going to kill the Passover on the 2nd, and we're going to celebrate. If you need Brother Dean's number, it's 1-828-837-8481. That's 828-837-8481. Now, I'll give you Pastor Odell's number and a few more numbers here, my number, my cell phone number, and things of this nature, so that you can contact most of you people that have been there in the Andrews, where we kept the feast up there for several years at Andrews. We kept it at Bryson City, and now we're keeping it at Murphy, North Carolina. Oh, what a beautiful place. I just love it over there. And the folks there in North Carolina are genuine, 100% Irish, Scottish, Israelite people of the Germanic races, the people of the House of Israel, the ones that we love. Praise Yahweh. So there you are. You have the directions to it, and you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I've got to get off here. My time has come and gone. And I want you to write me tonight. I'm live. You're on the 15th day of April, the fourth month, which is Abib, the first Passover month. It's already passed. We're going to keep the second one in the month. I'm going to celebrate it because we believe that we're in a far journey. We're over here in America, and we're going to prove that. Now, next week, I will get into a little bit more of the book of Acts and show you that they kept the second Passover in a far journey over in Philippi of the book of Acts and certain other places where that they kept the Passover and the festivals. They kept the first Passover in some, and then they kept the second when they was on a far journey. So we'll get into that and discuss that. Now, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. 2172. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look for you there in Murphy, North Carolina. If you need directions, just call me here at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can call Brother Dean at 828-837-8481. And ladies and gentlemen, we know in whom we believed. Here's the Shady Creek Quartet. The Bluegrass Boys from Western North Carolina. They'll give you a little bit of this 9-pound hammer with Brother Allen on the lead here.
Just a little too heavy. A baby for my side, Lord, Lord. A baby for my side. Hold on, buddy. Don't you hold too slow. Can I go on if the wheels all drove?
old Bluegrass Boys takes us off here tonight. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I love you a bunch. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR around the world on the mighty transmitting Jewel of the South. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the crown jewel of shortwave radio programming. That's WWCR with the Shepherd's Call with Dr. Gary and Pastor Buddy. We'll see you on down the line next Sunday night. Yahweh willing. Yahweh bless you.